Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. These words come straight from the burning heart of our Lord, who yearns so deeply for radical intimacy with each of us, each and every one of us. The trouble is that we waste so much time, energy, and money on things that take us away from Him. So He's trying to draw us back, especially in the liturgy today, but at all times. In today's gospel passage, we see this burning heart of God on display. Jesus has heard of the death of His cousin, John the Baptist, and seeks some alone time to mourn and pray. Yet many people learn about His destination, and they scurry over and they arrive there first, before He even gets there. However, despite this great inconvenience, His heart is moved with compassion for the suffering of the people. And therefore, He responds with great mercy and generosity. How beautiful it is that He is always more concerned about others than about Himself. But eventually a problem arises. Evening comes and there isn't enough food to feed this vast number of people that have come to the deserted place where He was going. The disciples want to send everybody off to fend for themselves. But Christ's heart still has much more compassion to give, specifically to the disciples, but also to the vast crowd. "There is no need for them to go away," He responds. "Give them some food yourselves." Note how the disciples want Christ to fix the problem. They point to the problem, they just want Him to fix it. But He's giving them the tools to get the job done through Him. And those tools are generosity, compassion, selflessness, trust in Him. The same is true for us. Christ wants us to stop waiting for someone else to reach out to the many lost sheep around us, these sheep without a shepherd, so to speak. He wants us to seek out and love these wounded ones through Him. He's saying to us, "Give them some food yourselves." And then when we reach out to them through Him, then He can multiply our efforts to meet their needs. This is another application of the mustard seed principle. Remember, I think it was two weeks ago when we had that. Maybe it was last week. I can't exactly remember. But when God takes a little tiny seed and grows it into a big, beautiful, fruitful tree that gives life in so many different ways. The opportunities are endless for us to do this. Just look around in our streets, look in our families, look online, look at the terrible state of discourse online nowadays. Just turn on the news and see the fighting and the terrible things that people are doing and saying to each other. There's no shortage of opportunities for us. And I want to give a specific example for our reservation as well, that when I was praying about this, it reminded me of the Curcio experience that we have here. That's obviously a very big presence. And so a lot of people still come, and I know it's not as much as maybe 20 years ago, but a lot of people still come to our Curcios, to our search and our pilgrimages. It's kind of like people coming to see Christ in that deserted place, right? They're coming to Him, they're wounded, they have needs, so they're coming to the Lord. And He meets their needs. He multiplies the bread, so to speak, in the Curcios. He lights people's heart ablaze. They get fired up. Wow. This Jesus loves me. And these are some of the most wounded people we have on a reservation. They even come from off the reservation, some of our candidates, because they're wounded and they need the Lord. And so He meets them where they're at. And He sets them ablaze and they see, wow, I really am loved. I'm not a loser. I'm not a jerk. I'm not a junkie. I'm not whatever. I may have some struggles, but I'm loved by Jesus Christ. And I'm loved by these people that are putting on the Curcio. And so it's a wonderful experience for them. The trouble is that oftentimes, once the Curcio is over, we're kind of like the disciples. Well, we'll send them out to fend for themselves, right? We have to do a better job of accompanying them. That's what I'm getting at here. As priests, as lay people, we do have a few prayer groups that are left over. There used to be like 40 or 50 of them, I guess, back in the heyday. Maybe we need some more prayer groups. Maybe we need things beyond the prayer group. Maybe God's calling us to serve in other ways. I'm not sure. But what happens to the vast majority of people that come to our Curcio type events? They go right back into the often harsh conditions that they have in their life, and they don't have a support system. And what happens? That flame is very quickly extinguished. And we don't see them. They disappear. They go back into the fabric of whatever fabric they were in before. So we have an opportunity. We have a beautiful gift in the Curcio. But we have to seek ways. Jesus is saying, give them some food yourselves. Accompany them. Walk with them. Help them to not fall back into that pit that they climbed out of, or whatever metaphor we want to use. The key to answering this call of Christ is that we must be nourished and transformed first. Only then will we have the courage to go against the grain of society, which says, take care of number one, right? If there's any leftovers, maybe kind of feed the scraps to somebody else, but take care of number one. So we have to have the courage to go against that, and the perseverance and compassion to get the job done again and again. This isn't just a one-time thing. Oh, well, I have a wounded family member. I'm going to care for them and I'm done. No, we're called to do it. Like, just like with Jesus. He's constantly mobbed by the people, right? Of course, the primary source of our nourishment and transformation is the Eucharist, which is clearly foreshadowed in today's first reading. Also in the Gospel, but we're going to focus on the first reading right now. God offers us the best food and drink possible without cost. It's all gift. It's all His love overflowing to us. This is the ultimate source of His grace in our lives, which is our ultimate nourishment. This is why God beckons us through Isaiah. Come to me heedfully, listen, that you may have life. Indeed, God chose death that you may have life. Only through the death of Christ do we have this life-giving food and drink, the Eucharist, which brings to fulfillment God's promise that we heard, I will renew with you the everlasting covenant. The Eucharist is the new and eternal covenant that forever binds us to Christ. How providential our opening hymn, bind us together. It binds us if we participate in His death. Otherwise, the graces kind of go to waste. They kind of bounce off of us. They don't sink in and bear fruit. So if we participate in His death, how do we do this? You hear me say it over and over and over. Conversion. The path to conversion. We die to our sins. We die to our wickedness. We let that go. We nail it to the cross of Christ so that we can live in Him, so that we can participate in His resurrection. So we don't just participate in His death. The story didn't end on the cross. Christ rose from the dead. And so this beautiful rhythm, die to ourselves, rise to new life in Him. That's the path to conversion. That's the path we have to walk if we want to truly be bound together in Him and bear fruit. Note that God says, heed me and you shall eat well. Come to me heedfully, listen, that you may have life. Notice what He's saying. So we must listen to Him attentively and heed all of His words. Not just the ones we like, all of His words. That's conversion, listening, heeding, following Him. And only then can we truly feast on His riches. Otherwise, we're closed off to receiving these wonderful gifts. Therefore, stop wasting your time lusting for the things of this world. Instead, heedfully listen to God and hunger and thirst for the Eucharist. Then you'll learn how to use the things of this world, which God gives us as gifts, to the full, so they can lead you to the things of heaven. Again, this is the same rhythm of conversion. As we've seen very clearly over the past few weeks, God is aching to lavish His gifts upon us, if only we will enter into communion with Him. In today's second reading, St. Paul is also aching for us to understand and live out this same reality. You can just sense that St. Paul's on fire when he's writing these words. He emphatically exclaims that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. from Christ who never stops offering his love to us. Even when we turn away from him, that's sin. When we turn away from him, he's still right there, offering us love and reconciliation. And no earthly reality can ever change this, nor can any heavenly reality, as we heard Paul emphatically saying, even though we sometimes convince ourselves otherwise. We think, oh, man, I sinned so much, or this one sin is just so terrible. There's no sin that can separate us from the love of Christ. There's no event. Maybe something happened to us. Maybe something terrible. Maybe we were abused, or maybe a bunch of events happened to us. That can't separate us from the love of Christ either. A lot of times people may be abused and then they think that they're worthless, that they're no good. And Christ wants to lift them out of that. So there's no sin, no event can separate us from the love of Christ. Not even COVID-19 puts physical distance, right? I mean, we're having a virtual mass here, but that doesn't stop the love of Christ from flowing into our hearts. Nothing. This is outstanding news. However, we must welcome and embrace Christ's transforming love. In other words, listen heedfully to him. He's never going to force his love on us. He gives us free will, so we have to welcome him in. We have to say yes. And so there actually is one thing that can separate us from his love. That's ourselves. Only when we turn away, only when we reject his love and choose sin instead of him. Thankfully, Christ is relentless in seeking ways to get us over ourselves and welcome him. In other words, to get out of the way of his grace. That's what the Christian life is really all about, is just get out of the way and let his grace work. We're pretty good at getting in the way, though. And as we move down this path, getting out of the way, and are nourished personally, then we are sent out to bring others to the same table of communion, to the same harvest of God's riches. The Eucharist is not a merely personal experience. It fundamentally brings people together through the transformation of those individuals, uniting them all in Christ so that they too can stop wasting their money and energy on earthly things that will never fulfill them. But we must cooperate with these graces, which is much easier said than done, right? It definitely is. We spend so much time thinking about ourselves, about our wants and our needs. Yet as we've seen, God calls us to be more and more like him, to be concerned about others, not ourselves. This is paradoxical and counterintuitive. Well, we wonder, what's going to happen to me then? It flies in the face of what the world tells us we need to do to be happy. Again, that's take care number one. In reality, though, this life that God calls us to is the absolute best way to live. It's not like he's leading us up a cliff. It's the best way to live, since it is the key to unlocking the fullness of God's riches, which enable us to take on the challenges in our world. Remember Paul's wonderful words of encouragement regarding these very challenges, which he experienced. He's saying, nothing can separate us. Not, you know, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was left for dead. He's talking about nakedness, nor famine, nor angels, principalities, demons, whatever. All these challenges, what does Paul say about them? We conquer overwhelmingly through him who loves us. He's talking about Jesus. Overwhelmingly. We don't just barely get by. We conquer overwhelmingly through him who loves us. The more we give to him who loves us, to Christ, the more we receive from him. That's the beautiful spiritual physics. He's not going to leave us hanging. And the more we become truly Eucharistic people who bring others together in Christ through our self-emptying love and generosity. Therefore, friends, we must be courageous, generous, and merciful in going out to the wounded people around us. They desperately need Christ. And as we've already established, we don't have to look far. You can probably, just the street right out here, I'm sure you could see a number of people. They're everywhere. However, we're oftentimes more like the disciples in today's gospel passage, waiting for someone else to deal with the problems in our lives and in the world around us. Oh, that's the Pope should take care of that, right? Or, oh, that Bishop Vedder, that's on his plate, right? Or that's Father Ed or Father Joe, the priests are supposed to take care of that stuff. Even the active lay people, all those people that come to the cursillos and do all that kind of work, they're the ones that are supposed to deal with that, right? We think these kind of things in the back of our head, right? We'd rather avoid these inconveniences. And after all, what difference can our little efforts make anyway? It's just a drop in the ocean, right? We think these things in the back of our head. Yet Christ is always right there saying, just give me what you have and don't hold back. I'll take care of the rest. I've got this. Just like he says with the disciples. I don't remember the exact words. They say, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He says, bring it. Bring it here. In the back of his head, he's probably thinking, watch this. He's saying that, yes, even the little that you have, whether it's just a prayer for a loved one or a prayer for a street person, or whether you have some food to offer or some money or your time or a combination of those or even something else, whatever it is you have to offer, he's saying, bring it to me. Even if you think it's insignificant, bring it here and it will be transformed into great things if you offer it selflessly to me. And you'll receive more in return than you ever imagined. So trust in him. Walk faithfully with him. Don't separate yourself from his love. Instead, seek your nourishment first in him and learn to love like him. And then you'll have everything you need and much, much more.